You know what? I really sense the presence of the Lord here this morning, and I trust that what I'm going to share this morning also will challenge you and encourage you today. You know, we're going to start a new series this morning, and basically for the summer, various speakers are going to minister on their favorite scripture or something that really impacted and changed their life. And so I'm starting off the series this morning with a scripture that impacted me as a new believer. But before we get into it, let's pray together because I need some help. Lord, we just exalt you and praise you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that, Father, we just had an awesome time in your presence today. And we thank you for our worship team this morning. And, Lord, we thank you that, God, they were able to lead us into relationship with you, Lord, in worship with you. And God, we just thank you, Father, that we've already been refreshed by just being together here this morning. And we pray, Lord, as we look to your word for a few minutes today, that God, you continue to exhort us, encourage us, challenge us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the scripture that when I first became a believer, this scripture that I'm going to read right now really challenged me in my life and has actually challenged me ever since. And it's in John 10. And it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Oh, yeah, my name is Dave Wells. I'm on the pastoral staff here. I thought I'd better, maybe somebody here doesn't know who I am. Who is that little guy up there? Anyhow, this scripture, I came that they might have life, may have it abundantly. You know, I think that scripture challenged me so much because of how I got saved, how I came to Jesus. And many of you know my testimony. I'm not going to go into it all. But before Linda and I became Christians, I mean, we'd been married a couple of years already. And I was finishing off university in Thunder Bay, Ontario, going to Lakehead University. And Linda was already teaching school. And I would say that we were having a great life. I mean, we had a great marriage. I did well at school, doing well at university. Linda had a good job. She loved her job. We had no debt. We were financially stable. We had a new car. From a material standpoint, from a career standpoint, it all looked great. We were living our dream. Our future looked good. Life was good. And I wouldn't have changed a thing until one day I had an encounter with the Lord in the university cafeteria. And that changed everything because what God showed me was that my life didn't make any sense at all. That even though I was doing well materially, Linda and I were doing well materially, and in the things of this world, our life made no sense. Because we were going to die one day, and then what? And I didn't have a question. I didn't have an answer for the question, then what? And I realized that my life had no purpose other than gathering material things and kind of existing. My life didn't have any purpose. That my plans, my goals were not the abundant life that I thought. And so when I began to meditate on this, it shook me and I began to be open to forgiveness of sin. I began to be open to the gospel, to what Jesus did on the cross. And in other words, what Jesus was offering me was abundant life. And I began to meditate on what does that mean, that Jesus said I could have life abundantly. And what it comes down to is it comes down to your values. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. What are your values? What are your core values as a person? I mean, your real values. And so the answer to that question, you say, well, you know, I could give you a slip of paper here this morning and say, write down your core values. You'd write something on there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that what you wrote on the paper are, in fact, your core values. They probably would reflect what you wish your values were, but it doesn't mean that's what they actually are. So you say, well, how do I know what my core values actually are? Well, look at your life. What is directing your life this morning? How you actually live tells you what your core values are. What's really important to you, what you give your priorities to, what you give your most important time to, that actually tells you what your values really are, not what you wish they were. And so ask yourself this question: what's directing your life this morning? You know, some people would say, well, Jesus. Jesus is directing my life. Or the Holy Spirit is directing my life. Really? Is that true? And before you can answer who, the question is what? What's directing your life? And so what I found out that God showed me that day in the cafeteria is that my life was not worth living for. The values that I had were not worth my life. That God's values are what's worth my life. And the truth is, your values drive your life. And your values reflect the condition of your heart. One of the scriptures that's well known to us is this. Jesus said one day, store for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, what's your treasure? Your treasure are your values. Where your values are, that's where your heart is. That's your treasure. And as I mentioned, your values are not always what you think they are. For example, when I don't read my Bible and pray on certain days, it's an indicator that I have another value for another activity that's higher than God and His Word. If I take my spouse for granted, it means that I value something more than my relationship with her. Where you spend your resources, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, reveals what your values really are. And sometimes people confuse values with principles. And a principle is a fundamental truth, a foundation for a way of doing life. But whatever, you can look at a woman or a man and say, that's a principled man or that's a principled woman. But your principles are based on something else. Your principles of your life are based on what you value. They're based on your core values. For example, I could know the principles of a good marriage, but I'd only practice those principles if I actually value the relationship. Valuing the relationship is where my principles come from. I could know what the principles of discipleship are, but I'd only live them out if I actually share God's values. I won't live them out. I could know the principles of finances, but my values will actually determine how I actually spend my money. Jesus said this: do not worry saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. In other words, what Jesus was really saying is oftentimes temporal things are what our core values are. But actually what our core value should be is our relationship with Jesus and actually our relationship with other people. Those are the core values that God is interested in. You know, one day one of Jesus' disciples came to him and said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. Because Jesus said, follow me. But Jesus said, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. This guy's father wasn't dead. What the guy was really saying is, hey, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, but let me go and bury my father. What he was really saying is, let me go home, look after my father until he dies, and secure my inheritance. And when my inheritance is secure, I'm financially secure, then I will come and follow you. And Jesus said, no, I'm first. Your inheritance isn't first. I'm first. What was wrong with this guy? He had a wrong set of values. His values were colliding with Jesus' values, with the values of the kingdom. And I believe that this morning, Jesus wants to challenge you and I, what are our values? I mean, really, our real values. Not what we'd like them to be, not what we even say that they are. Your life, your direction of your life actually determines for you what your real values are. How are they? You know, if I'm always late for church, but always on time for movies, it shows me that my entertainment is more valuable to me than the things of God. Ouch. Dave, why did you say that? When I snap at my children and are impatient with them, it shows that at that moment, my convenience is more valuable than they are. And I could go on and on. See, well, Hey, Dave, I want to change my life. As a pastor, I've had people come to me over the years and say, hey, Dave, would you pray for me that I would change? Hey, Dave, I have this problem in this area of my life. I want to change my life. Let me tell you something. How do you change your life? You change your life by changing your values. That's the only way you can change. If your values don't change, you don't change. Your life doesn't change. I've seen people pray to receive Jesus. Say, I'm a Christian now. I prayed the sinner's prayer. I asked Jesus to come into my life. And then they go on living as if they'd never accepted Jesus at all. But if you talk to them, say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I prayed the prayer. But I'm just kind of living my life the way I want. And one day, I'll get serious about him. And by the way, I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven. What's wrong with that picture? Why didn't that guy's life change? His values didn't change. If your values don't change, you don't change. It doesn't matter how much counseling you get. It doesn't matter how much prayer you get. If your values do not change, you will not change. You know, when Linda and I became Christians, our life changed immediately. I mean, Linda and I prayed to receive Jesus. Linda watched me pray to receive Jesus. She believed. At the same time I believed, we became Christians. Can I tell you, right there, our lives changed. Why? Because our values changed. All of a sudden, I realized that what we've been pursuing up to that point in time, career, money, material things, all of a sudden we realized this is the wrong way to go. This isn't what life is about. This is not worthy of our life. And when we accepted Jesus, when we found out who Jesus was and what God was offering us, we realized that's better. That is more valuable to us than what we were pursuing before. So our values changed. And as a result of our values changing, we changed. It was pretty dramatic, actually. You know, this truth is illustrated in one of Jesus' most confusing parables. Let's read this parable. A lot of people scratch their heads over this parable. But let's read it. It's in Luke 16. And he says, now he was saying to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to himself, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes. And he summoned each one of his master's debtors. And he began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of oil. He said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. Did you see that? The master praised his dishonest manager for his dishonesty. Is that what he was saying? Not quite right. But he praised him. He had acted shrewdly, for the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, or serve God and mammon, depending on your translation. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, get that, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things and were scoffing at him. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. So, In this parable, this man is misusing his master's resources. He's a thief. He's dishonest. The master, who is God in this parable, catches on. And so he says, well, I'm going to fire you. This unscrupulous manager says, well, I'm not strong enough to dig. Can't dig ditches. And so what am I going to do? I don't want to beg. That would be humiliating for me. I don't want to beg. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to continue my dishonest ways and use my master's money before he fires me and make some friends with all the people that owe him money. And so he starts, you know, making deals with all of his master's creditors. And the master, when he finds out about it, he praises him. Now, are we saying here that God commended this guy for being dishonest? No, that's not what this parable is about. And sometimes that confuses us. It looks like, man, God praised this unscrupulous manager. No, that's not what he was praising. He was praising the fact that the guy had life figured out. The focus of this parable is not on honesty. It's not on stewardship. The focus is on this parable is on relationships and values. That's what this parable is about. It's about values. What he was praising him for is that the guy got it. He used money to build relationships, because relationships is way more important than money. And that's what he's praising him for. And so he realized that this guy had shrewdly and strategically strengthened his relationship with all his master's debtors. And he said, you know, when I get fired, I'm going to have friends. And I believe that that relationship with these guys will help me. They'll look after me, is what he's basically saying. And so his commendation was not about his dishonesty. His commendation is about his foresight, to realize that in this world, what matters a lot is relationships. Relationship, first of all, with God, and relationship with other people. That those are the two core values that God is most interested in. And if you and I are wise, if we are shrewd, then we will realize the most important thing in our lives, the two most important core values that you and I could have, that God wants us to have, is relationship with him and relationship with other people. Those are the two highest values. And we should focus our resources on those two things if we are shrewd, if we are wise. And so he goes on to say, the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. In this case, the sons of light were the Pharisees. They were the ones, they were the religious establishment. They were the elite. They should have known, had it figured out. They did not have it figured out. In fact, at the end of the parable, Jesus says that they were lovers of money. They did not love him and they did not love people. And so they gnashed their teeth at this parable. But you know, sometimes I look at Christians and we fail in the same way, do we not? Many times we value our material resources above our relationship with God and our relationship with other people. We spend our resources in the wrong way because we don't have the right values. We don't have the same core values. We don't have kingdom values that God wants us to have. And so this parable is about values and about relationship. And Jesus said, if we don't value your relationships over your wealth, who's going to give you the true riches? Who's going to give you what is truly valuable in life? And so the Pharisees scoffed at him. It says the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things, were scoffing at him. They didn't like it. Why? They had a faulty value system. They didn't like that message. And then Jesus went on to say this. You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of man, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed or valued among men is detestable in the sight of God. And so again, we see a connection between our hearts and what we value. And the Pharisees valued money. And money is very powerful. It's very powerful, amen? Money buys power. Money buys friends. Money can overthrow governments. Money can sway the masses. Money's powerful. That's why God, in many cases, money has taken the place of God in people's lives. And that's why God said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. Money is the God of this world. Money, in many ways, is the God of North America and of the Western world. And so people give their trust, their love, and their hearts to money. And so Jesus says, you can't serve two masters. You have to make a decision. You know, we look at Judas, and he betrayed Jesus. Why did he betray Jesus? He had the wrong value system. It says in Matthew 26, verse 14, that one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. And so why did Judas betray Jesus? He had the wrong value system. Of course, we know that he was a thief. And Jesus knew that he was a thief. He was stealing money out of the money purse. Amen? But his core problem was he had the wrong value system. After he sells Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, then he realized, what did I just do? And he tried to give the money back, but it was too late. And of course, we know he did not end well. Amen? All because he never got a hold of what was really valuable. He did not have the true value system. You know, I read a story one time. It's a true story about this child. This family was visiting this museum. And they're looking at various artifacts. And they had a little boy with them. And there was this Chinese vase, this antique Chinese vase that was very valuable. And this little boy stuck his hand in the vase, and he couldn't get his hand out. And so the parents are frantic. They're trying to get the vase off this little boy's hand, and it won't come off. And they're all working at it, and trying everything. They cannot get this kid's hand out of the vase. Finally, he had no choice but to break the vase, to smash the vase, to get the little boy's hand out. When they broke the vase, it became apparent why they couldn't get the kid's hand out. His fist was closed tight. And what actually had happened was he'd seen a penny in the bottom of the vase, stuck his hand on there, grabbed the penny, which he was not willing to let go. And so, he couldn't get his hand out. So they smashed the vase, and they saw in the kid's hand a little penny, 1 cent, because he wouldn't let go. Amen? He had the wrong value system. Jesus said, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. You can only take two things to heaven with you. You can take your relationship with God, and you can take your relationship with people. Those are the only two things you and I can take into eternity. You can't take anything else. Amen? Not 1 cent more. Nothing. So the number one value is my relationship with God. That should be the number one value in my heart. The number two value that should be in my heart is you. People. That should be the number two value in my heart. Those are the two core values. They're actually the only two core values. If I have those two core values, it orients my whole life. It determines the direction of my whole life. You know, there was a dialogue between Jesus and the Pharisees. One of the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, and they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Didn't we sing about that this morning? Amen? All our worship? Amen? And this is the great and foremost commandment. We could replace the word commandment with value. This is the great and foremost value. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Those were the core values of Jesus. Amen? When Jesus walked this earth, it was apparent. Those were his two core values in his life. His whole life was oriented from those two values. How do we know that? Well, we know it from his lifestyle. He said one day, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing of my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. I always do the things that are pleasing to him. How do we know that Jesus really loved the Father? His life, his lifestyle, what he did, showed what he really valued. Just like what I do is actually the strongest indicator of what I really value. And what you do is the strongest indicator of what you really value. How do we know he loved people? How do we know Jesus loved people? He said this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Does Jesus love you and me? How do we know Jesus loves us? You know that song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know? For the Bible tells me so. It's not just because the Bible tells us so. How do we know Jesus loves us? He laid his life down for us, amen? He went to the cross. He died for you. He died for me. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He paid the full price. He literally, literally laid down his life for us. That tells us that that was his core value. That is his core value. Jesus said this, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. Amen? One lays down his life for his friends. You and I will not do that if that's not a true core value of our lives. We won't do it. But if it is a core value, you'll lay your life down for your friends. You just will. And so we see in the parable of the lost sheep, what do you think? A man has 100 sheep. One of them has gone astray. Does he leave the 99 in the mountains and go and search? Or go and search for the one that is straying? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. So it is the will of your Father. So it's not the will of your Father who's in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Every single person is valuable. No one is too small, too insignificant, too old, too far off, too different, too young, too old, too sinful. Everyone is valuable. Everyone. Every person. And so God rejoiced over the lost sheep that was found because that's what he values. He went on to say this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Why are the laborers few? The laborers are few because they don't have the right values. Amen? That's why the laborers are few. If we had and have Jesus' value system, Jesus will never lack laborers to go into the harvest because we'll have the same values that he has. Amen? And so values are the most powerful factor in your life and in my life. Values are the most important factor in the life of this church. Amen? All, you see, well, you know, we have ministries and we have programs and we have vision and methods. Let me tell you something. Our vision, our missions, all those things come out of our values. What our values are will drive the ministry of this church. What our values are personally will drive your life. Your values will drive your life. They are driving your life right now. You say, well, I don't like how my life's going. What do? You have to change your values. Otherwise, your life will not change. Jesus said this. He summoned the crowd with his disciples and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. And then he said this, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? In other words, what he's really saying is, if I have those two core values, It actually will heal me. It will heal me. It will change my life. And it will put me on a straight path to the future that God has for me. That's how important those values are. You see, your values will lead you into your future. Whatever your values are, that's the direction of your life. That's the target you're going to hit. Whatever your values are. And so, if you lose your life and you focus on your relationship with God and you focus on your relationship with people, God will actually heal you. I've seen people, and don't misunderstand me this morning. I value counselors. I do. But let me tell you something. No counselor can change your life. You can be counseled forever. And I know people who are counseled for years, and their life does not change. Why? Why is their life not changing? Because counseling will not change your life. Your values will change your life. And those people who get counseling forever are not willing to change their values. Because they're not willing to change their values, their life will not change. They just follow the same pathway, the same trajectory for their whole life. You know, when Linda and I got saved, our values changed. They really did. Our life changed. Our priorities changed. It affected our whole future. I mean, we had our life mapped out. We were career-driven people, both Linda and I. Very goal-oriented, career-driven. When we got saved, it changed everything. And our life went down a different pathway entirely, which we're still following to this day. What happened to us? The night we got saved, our values changed. That's what happened. Look at Paul. Paul, before he got saved, was living according to his core values. What were Paul's core values? Well, he wanted to rise up in the whole Jewish political system. He was looking for power. Some scholars think that Paul was grooming himself to be the next high priest. And so Paul was right. He was a fast rising star in the whole Jewish religious system. And he was murderous. He was a murderer. He killed people. He destroyed people. It didn't matter. He did these things to enhance his value, where he wanted to go in his life. Then one day Paul met Jesus on Damascus Road. He got dramatically saved. Did Paul change? Did he change? Oh, yeah, he changed dramatically. Why? His values changed. When his values changed, he changed. And now Paul, or Saul, he was called, the persecutor of the church, then became Paul, one of the most beloved disciples ever. Probably the strongest believer that we read about in the New Testament. Just an amazing man, amen? His love for God and his love for people were incredible. Were they not? Did he lay his life down? Yes, he did. Literally, he laid his life down. What happened to Paul? His values changed right there on the road. Boom. And it changed his entire future. It transformed him and directed him into God's future for his life. Not what Paul had for himself. Values are the most important factor in your life and my life. Change your values, change your life. Hang on to your values, your life will not change. What are your values? Let's stand this morning. Do I hear any amens?
Amen.
You want your life to change? Amen. We need to change our values, church. I mean, I'm convicted by my own preaching this morning. I really am. Say, hey, Dave, you know what? You need to adjust some values in your own heart. You need some more fine-tuning. I suspect I'm not alone here this morning. I suspect that there's many of us here this morning say, you know what? I got some wrong values here. I got some wrong priorities here. God is not first. He's second or third or fourth. People are not first. They're somewhere down here. I'm first. What I want. And so I want to really challenge you this morning. Ask yourself the question, what are my values? Really, what are they? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we stand before you this morning. And God, we need adjustment in our personal lives this morning. We need a values clarification in our life. We need to clarify our values. And Lord, help us, Lord, not to be foolish, not to live for the things of this world and realize at the end, we totally missed the best. We didn't live the abundant life. And so, Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. I pray you'd strengthen them, encourage them in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you'd stir their hearts, Lord, to have a values adjustment. And Lord, would you adjust our values this morning? Would you show us where our values need a tune-up? Would you help us, Lord, in Jesus' name? That God, that we would not just continue on the same old, same old. Lord, there are many of us here that, Lord, we need emotional healing. We need spiritual healing. We even need physical healing. But Lord, you said you know that we need all these things. If we would seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, you said you would add all these things to us. And so, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we begin to focus on you and focus on other people, that you will then heal us. You will set us free. You will transform us. You will bring wholeness to our life, and we will begin to live truly the abundant life. Jesus, you said that you gave us life, and more abundantly, we want that life right on into eternity. And so, God, we want to thank you. We want to praise you this morning. Lord, stir our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And you know what? If you're somebody here this morning and you don't know Jesus, if you're a personal Savior this morning, I don't know everybody here, obviously, but if you're here this morning, you're visiting with us, or you came, somebody invited you, and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, listen to me. You are living your life for the wrong set of values. That Jesus Christ loves you and died for you. That's what the cross was all about. He gave his life. He took all your sins upon the cross that you might be free, that you might have eternal life. And what you need to do is simply decide that Jesus is Lord and believe that when Jesus died on the cross, he died for your sins. So the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the word believe means to put your trust in. You're depending on that. Those of us that are believers this morning, we're believers because we are trusting that when Jesus died on the cross, our sins were there. He paid for us. And that's what we trust. That's what gives us eternal life. And if you will do that this morning, you've never done that, I want to encourage you to do that. It will change your life. The Holy Spirit will come, start working in your heart, will change your value system. Change your life. Lord, in the name of Jesus, if you're here this morning, I'm going to pray a prayer. And you should make my prayer your prayer. And you can receive Jesus right now. Father, I come before you this morning because I'm a sinner. Because, Lord, I've sinned grievously against you. And I have no excuse. But Jesus, I thank you that you love me so much that you willingly went to the cross and you took my sins. Lord, you took my judgment. You took my place in the judgment and paid for all my sins. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I believe that. I put my trust in that. Lord, come into my heart and transform me, Lord, and give me eternal life. Lord, I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, folks. Have a good summer.